Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out, America. Again, that's stewardship.com. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. Alicia, welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. How you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm blessed beyond belief. You're calling in from?
Santa Rosa, California.
Well, there you go. California, you're suffering out there. Probably some horrible weather.
Yeah, you know, we haven't hit the blizzards.
No, not quite. Not for a while. How can I help you today?
I'm calling to try to get some advice from you regarding contentness. I'm debt-free. We are on baby step 4, 5, and 6. And 6 is more of saving for a house, not paying it off. We rent.
Okay.
And so I'm just struggling with finding, you know, just contentness with where I'm at now. We're in a good place, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it started, you know, I married my husband in 2007, and he was flipping houses at the time. And I think you know where the story might be going. We got stuck with one and wasn't able to sell it for what it was needing to go for. And mm-hmm. So we incurred hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. In 2007, we also bought our home and ended up foreclosing later on. So, you know, we went through a ton of repayment and trials trying to, you know, scale back the budget and get us to where we are now. And I want to also honor what the Bible says in all ways, shape, and form, with, you know, not being a slave to the lender, not owing any man. And so saving up for a house in California seems pretty unrealistic in my lifetime. So, you know, it just seems like such a massive goal. And I'm having a hard time. I'm motivated, but I just don't know how to get there. Or just be happy where I'm at, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm struggling with.
Yeah. Well, I think it was really healthy for all of our listeners to hear you kind of process that verbally for us, because that's not abnormal at all. And, you know, I think it's really important for all of us to think through the baby steps, what we talk about so much here on the air. Baby steps are part of Financial Peace University, and there's 7 logical linear steps that walk you through financial freedom initially, and then financial wealth towards the end of it. But they're all biblically centered, and we need to understand that they're guardrails. They're not our identity. And so a couple of things right now in baby steps 4, 5, and 6, I can relate to right where you're at more than you think I can. All the way back to 2008 and everything you experienced, you've almost got my exact same story, or I have your story, however you want to look at it.
Right. I've heard your story, so I thought you could relate.
Yeah, very similar. Number one is we need to recalibrate our expectations. You need to recalibrate your expectations. You got 7 baby steps,
right,
and you have 40 to 60 to maybe even 80 adult years. And our expectations is that we're going to go through the 7 steps in 7 years.
Right.
So our expectations are a little off. And so if 4, 5, and 6 are going to take some time, well, guess what? They're going to take some time. Number two, I would tell you, if you're renting and you're kind of frustrated with that, I know what that feels like also. But if you look at the money that you're quote-unquote throwing away, what people would say, especially mortgage brokers, good people, but you know, they're in business.
Sure.
You know, if you look at the amortization schedule on a 30-year mortgage, you're going to realize you're throwing away all that money in the first 10 years anyway. And then everyone usually refinances after 10 years and you get a brand new amortization schedule. So don't feel like you're throwing too much money away there. Okay. Actually, you're spending a lot less money because you're not running into Home Depot.
Yeah, I don't necessarily feel like I'm throwing money away. And I'm not even really ready to own. I mean, I know I'm not. I don't even have 20% down right now. Mm. So, you know, that was originally the goal, was to get, you know, 20% down. And then my husband and I kind of reevaluated our lives and following the Bible a little more strictly. Mm. So now we're like, okay, 20% may not be the right way to go. So
yeah.
I don't know. I guess the time thing is something I need to remember, is that it's going to take a lot longer than the first 3 baby steps.
Yeah, yeah. Number one is to recalibrate those expectations. And the second thing I would tell you is just to put the baby steps where they belong. They're a help. They're a guardrail, but they have nothing to do with your identity. Your identity has not changed. Your identity has been the same all throughout. And this is for all listeners. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. There's your identity. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. That's our identity. John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Just put the baby steps where they belong. They're biblically centered guide. But the identity, it's in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings.
Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And God bless you. This email comes in from Judith. It says, hi, I'm a graduate of FPU, or Financial Peace University, and have a problem. I have a very old car, a 97 Thunderbird, that needs about $3,500 in work. I don't have the cash to fix the car. Since the car is so old, would you suggest putting that amount into this one, or perhaps trying to save enough to put the money into something newer? I would appreciate the suggestions. Well, since you are giving me an option of saving either way, that tells me that you can continue to work, that you can put enough money into this car to get to work and to continue to save and to continue to generate income. So based on that assumption, I would say put just enough money into this particular car to get back to work, and while you're driving this older car, save up for a new car. Our next caller is Jared, calling in from Dallas, Texas. Jared, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
I'm blessed beyond belief. What can I do for you?
My wife and I own our house, and when I say we own it, we have a mortgage on it. We owe about $113,000 on it, and we just found out when we went to protest the taxes that the property value has went up big time, and we've got about $50,000 to $60,000 in equity at this point that we had no clue about. We have our emergency fund. We are on step two in the debt snowball. We have about $70,000 in debt. Our household income is a little north of $200,000. And my question is, what do you think about me trying to get the equity out of the house and refinancing and pulling cash out to take care of the debt? Is that something you advise or advise against? And then it's a two-part question. We like the house we're in, but we're wanting to have a bigger family and have more kids in the future. So eventually we want to build or buy a new house. And just kind of wondering when we should plan on doing that, and if you advise against trying to get the equity out of the house to get debt-free.
Did you say you make $200,000 a year? 200.
I knew that was coming.
200?
Yeah. My wife is a registered nurse, and she brings home about 70, and I make around 150 modestly.
Okay, so you have $70,000 in debt.
Yes.
Why?
It even gets worse. If you promise not to shoot me through the phone... I just bought a couple months ago, before we did the Financial Peace University, I just bought a $60,000 Tahoe, but it even gets worse. I leased it. Currently trying to get out of that.
Okay.
So that's not even in the debt snowball because I'm trying to get out of it and get me a cash car.
All right, let me change your focus. Your focus needs to come off the house.
Okay.
Your focus needs to be on that. And you guys you have such a huge shovel to bring in income that you could be completely out of debt in 6 months. Like,
yeah.
I mean, and without moving. I mean, if you want to sell the house, it's fine, but you told me you liked it. And you said the only time you would move is because you want to prepare for a bigger family later. But the bigger family's not even there. You're ahead of the game on the house part, but behind the game on the consumer debt part. I would just start making triple, quadruple, I mean, payments like crazy towards this consumer debt. Get rid of that. If you take a little bit of a hit on that lease, it's not gonna ruin your world. You're not even gonna feel it. You have such a big shovel that if you lose $5,000 on that by returning that Tahoe, I mean, whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Just do whatever you got to do to get out of that. Say, I'll pay the penalties, whatever. That was crazy.
I'll tell you what it is, and I've really come to grips with the problem by listening to you and Dave lately. It's just a frame of mind. My wife and I haven't switched that gear to change the way that we spend. We really want to, and we have a budget, and we're paying off debt. But, you know, we still do things because we have money that we probably shouldn't. You know, we both worked really hard, and we were of that mindset, oh, we deserve this. And it wasn't till as of late that we realized that how we really just deserve to be debt-free, so let's work on that. So,
switch
gears. Don't worry about the house.
Yeah, I mean, you can if you want to, but you like the house, and you've got a huge shovel without it. So, you know, by doing all the moving back and forth and your origination fees on your new place and the moving cost and – it's more practical for you to just start making major payments. Now, the reason why you don't have a vision for your money. The Bible says where there is no vision, people perish. Now, another translation says where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Meaning if you don't have a place to put your money, well, you're going to find a place for it. You know, if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time is what Zig Ziglar says. And what's happening is, you're not aiming, and so you're just kind of going everywhere, and this sounds good, this sounds good. You've got to sit down and have long-term goals. You got to have short-term goals. You've got to know where where the ship is going. You guys need to be on the same page. Of course, you need to have a monthly budget. And if you guys have a monthly budget and you have a destination for every single dollar, you pre-decide before the impulse gets there. You pre-decide before the emotions get involved. But you think through your finances from a logical standpoint of where you guys want to go. And I would encourage you to put a little bit of spending money in your budget so you don't go crazy. You want to make sure this is scalable and sustainable. Now, what does a little bit mean? That's up to you. But it needs to be very little right now while you have consumer debt, like almost nothing. There's a way that you guys can have fun without spending money. You know, take a walk in the park and hold each other's hands and gaze into each other's eyes and, you know, whisper sweet nothings in each other's ears. Whatever you got to do, that's all free. But how old are you?
I'm 30 years old.
Oh, my goodness, Jared. You don't even know. You don't even know what your life could look like in 10 years. Here's the deal. Get rid of the Tahoe. Take the hit on it. Make major, ridiculous payments on all the rest of the debt. Get out of debt and then start making triple payments on your house. You're going to be 32 or 33 and completely debt-free, including your house. Then you can start worrying about building that other home slowly as you start giving towards retirement as well. But your first step is to get rid of that $70,000, and I don't think you need to move. All right?
Man, thank you so much. Have a great day, and I appreciate everything you do.
All right. You're awesome, Jared. Thank you. Folks, you guys have got to check out Dave Ramsey's latest book, The Legacy Journey. The book tackles some tough issues like what does the Bible really say about money? What about wealth? And how much is enough for your family? You'll also learn how to live and leave a legacy for your family that will set the tone for generations to come. Go get your copy of the Legacy Journey book and start living more intentionally today. To learn more or to buy now, visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Our next caller is Ernie, calling from Riverside, California. Ernie, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I am blessed. How can I help you today?
Yes, I was just wondering what dependents, how many can I put down without the IRS getting me at the end of the year?
And what do you want? What are you looking for? Are you looking for a big refund or looking for a small refund? What's your philosophy on all that?
I'm trying to get more money per paycheck so I could start paying off bills faster.
Mm-hmm.
We pretty much just blow through the money at the end of the year with our refund.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if I put more dependents down, I could just budget better and start paying those off.
Yeah. You'd said we. Who's we?
Me and my wife.
All right. And this decision to change your dependents on your tax form and this philosophy change, or this, is she on board with this? Is this something that's being communicated?
She's very nervous about changing dependents because she doesn't want to go over the amount of dependents. Because 1 year we went over and we had to pay a couple thousand at the end of the year.
Okay. And what are some of the things that you blow money on when that money comes in April?
Eating out, vacations.
So it's both of you. Both of you are blowing it, not just one of you.
Yes, both of us.
Okay. I was just seeing if there was something there underneath the question. Oh dear. What you want to do is you want to make sure that you're not getting a refund, because what you're doing is really, in a sense, giving the government your money, more money than you need to throughout the year, so they can make money off of it, and then they give you a portion of it back.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be able to have that in your possession. So your shift is, I want to confirm it, that you do need to make that shift. Now, how many dependents, that's your situation. That's between you and your HR department and what that looks like for you. But the general rule is you want to make sure that you get as much of your paycheck as possible, you know, and budget. She said that you had to pay $2,000 a few times. That's not a big deal if you budget all year and you have it there and it's waiting for it. It's a big deal when you don't.
Yeah.
I worry about keeping as much paycheck as possible and then budget for your anticipated charge at tax time, and then you got to work that out with your HR department and your tax professional. But I want to confirm that you are on the right track. You do not want a big refund.
Okay. Because it's me, my wife, and we have a son, so I was wondering how many, like, should I put three down, or do I have to talk to my HR department?
Yeah, there's too many variables, and you know, your HR department and then your, obviously your tax professional would be even a better resource. But for me, I try to fill it out accurately. You know, I've got three kids, so I do three dependents. If it's one kid, I do one dependent. So I just do it.
Oh, okay.
Try not to fabricate anything on that form. I know a lot do, but that's not something I want to do.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you so much.
Remember to call in at 866-357-3283. Our caller is Gina. She's calling in from Cleveland, Ohio. Gina, how are you?
I'm well. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing very, very well. How can I help you?
I'm calling because we've got a situation where we have a rental property that is sort of a leftover. We went through that whole 2008 real estate debacle. We had a whole bunch of units, and we ended up just really getting in a big, huge pinch. And so we ended up with our house that we're living in now, which was actually a rental at the time, but we downsized and went into that one. And now we have this other one left. And it had a renter in it for like 20-some years. And basically, he left the property about 2 years ago. And it's in a state of complete disrepair. It's uninhabitable. Nobody could live there. It needs a ton of work. And so we're sitting here paying every month to the tune of almost $700 a month going out just to hold this property. And we recently came into a little bit of money through an inheritance. And we don't know what to do. Should we sink money into this house to try to get it fixed up? Or we still owe $40,000 on the mortgage of this house. So we're just sort of in a pinch where we're not sure what to do with it.
Yeah. How much was the inheritance?
It's going to be probably about 20 grand by the time things shuffle out.
Okay. And what's your current income?
I make 80.
Okay.
And my husband recently lost his job, but between like his temporary unemployment that he's getting, he's probably going to be at about 40.
Okay. And the $700 a month, is that the loss? Like, if you were to put a renter in there, what would you be sitting at?
The last guy rented it for about, it was $475 a month he was renting it.
You have 40K. And what's the payment?
$692.
And what could you sell it for?
Great question. We're hoping we might be able to sell it for 55 or 60 on a good day.
And the condition it's in?
We actually put a for sale sign in the yard, hoping, you know, somebody would come along that would want to fix it up and flip it or something like that.
Yeah.
And we've had calls, but no bites. And, I mean, with the condition that it's in, we'd probably maybe get, I'm hoping someone would come along and pay 30 for it. I know we're not going to get what we owe off it. I don't want to put the money, and then we're trying to work our debt snowball too.
Yeah.
So we're on baby step two.
What would like $8,000 do for it? Like it cosmetically, if you put $8,000 into it, could you possibly get 20 more thousand?
Potentially. If I fixed up the outside and just did some stuff to it, you know, to skippy it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. The whole idea is to get this thing off your hands. You need to, the quick answer is this thing needs to be out of your life. My hunch is, Gina, that if you were to have all of your money that you've put into this house in your hand right now, and you're like, oh, what can I do with this money? You would not buy this house.
Right.
So we need to get it out of your life as soon as possible. So for me, based on what you've told me, maybe if you can put maybe $8K into this thing out of the $20,000 inheritance, so that the only reason is so that you can get out of underneath it without having to bring any money to the closing table. That would be ideal, which means you're going to have to be around that $50,000 mark to sell it to be able to pay off the $40,000 mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
But your primary focus needs to be on getting out of all the other debt, all the consumer debt snowball in the baby step number two. So that would be my hunch. So I would try to put as little into this house as possible to get the biggest return. That'd be carpet. That would be the exterior, all cosmetic. The major concerns that you would have as a buyer, and I would definitely get a real estate broker. I wouldn't try to do for sale by owner. You're going to get whatever their commission is on this. So you're looking at $1,500, 3%. You're going to get more. You're going to get $1,500 or more out of this because of their help and because of their marketing. So don't try to cut out the real estate broker. You're going to need that.
Okay.
The rest of the $20,000, which might be $12,000, $15,000, needs to go towards the debt snowball ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would do. It all comes down to stewardship. You got to ask yourself, again, the whole name of the show is, how do I manage this inheritance for God's glory? How do I do it His way for God's glory? And go back to Psalm 24:1, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So it's his inheritance, not yours. And how do I manage it for His glory? And if you ask those questions, it should lead you back to what I just told you. You need to get rid of the debt in your life first. But one of those big debts is this $40,000 anchor that's around you. So I'd get rid of that house, but I wouldn't take a loss on it.
Yeah.
I would see if you can get it. You can get it up to par. I think cosmetically you should be able to do that. Okay.
Yeah. Good deal. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Gina. That wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service. But in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to, one, listen to the show, two, check out stewardship.com, and three, would you also consider leaving us a review or a rating on iTunes? Thank you so much for helping us spread the word. It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, until next time, let's continue to manage His blessings His way, and for His glory. God bless you.